You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And I really shouldn't have to say this, but I will. I'm happy that the Bears didn't trade Justin Fields. Number one, because, you know, I don't want them to trade Justin Fields. But number two, I was really concerned that they were going to trade him on his birthday. Like, does that not seem like the most Bears thing ever, where they would be like, hey, we finally found somebody who wanted to trade for Justin Fields and we're doing it on his birthday? Perhaps to some, they would consider that a huge birthday gift to be traded away from the Chicago Bears. But at the same time, nobody wants to be traded on their birthday. That's not very cool. So still, Justin Fields is a member of the Chicago Bears. Jalen Johnson will be a member of the Chicago Bears at least for one more season. And we're going to be talking about that here just in a matter of moments. So, Sammy, let's go ahead and start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other. It's going to be sick.
It is Wednesday night. You know what that means. It is time for Take It to the Rank. We will sit here and talk a little Bears football and then get you ready for AEW Dynamite. If anybody saw the pay-per-view over the weekend, one of the best pay-per-views in professional wrestling that I've seen in quite some time. I think AEW has really hit their stride with pay-per-views. The weekly show, whatever. Pay-per-views are excellent. Of course, Sting has retired. I'm not going to go into that now because we're here to talk about the Chicago Bears, and also the Tape Never Lies Network will be coming up here in about 90 minutes. Draft Dr. Phil, I'm sure, will be glowing about Caleb Williams. But joining us here this evening, we're very excited to have our guest on tonight. He's one of my best friends in the world, works for NBC Sports, and he put us in contact with our guest tonight. Very excited to have him on. So from NBC Chicago, please welcome to the show, Mr. Josh Schrock. And listen, when Justin Hathaway speaks highly of you, I stop and listen. So how are you doing? And what's your relationship like with Justin? Are you guys good? Everything okay?
Yeah, no, I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here. Justin is Justin's a very, very good friend of mine. He got me started in this industry and has helped me along at numerous stops. So it's I credit him a lot to the position I find myself in currently. He's a great dude, as you know, and a good boss, although I'm glad to not have him editing me anymore because that can get a little tiresome.
It is scary because he would actually sit there like a teacher and go over, like, hey, here's where, and you got to go through all this stuff. Yeah. And just to give everybody a little bit of a backstory, if you're familiar with my work on the NFL Network, you're probably familiar with Around the NFL. Justin is responsible for starting the Around the NFL stuff. So if you enjoy Greg Rosenthal, Dan Hinsis, and of course, Mark Sessler, Justin was the person who put that all together. And of course, he got a lot of things in motion for us, which is why we have a little difference in respect. Not only that, he's a great dude. So giving us a lot of our starts. So it's really cool. So Josh, it's great to have you on. I do want to just start off right off the top. The combine. Mm-hmm. I thought Caleb Williams came off really well. For a long time, it felt like, and going through the first couple of days of the combine, it felt like, it's automatic now. What is your feeling on where the Bears stand with Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually, it's funny, you know, arrive in Indy, and I assume that most of what I was going to hear was gonna be like, yeah, they're going to take Caleb Williams, but I didn't think it was going to be as unanimous as it was. You know, I think we're in the Chicago bubble, and we're so used to the Fields versus Caleb debate. You arrive at the combine, and people from all over the NFL are like, it's not actually a debate, right? Like, they're clearly going to take Caleb Williams. I think the Bears really like Caleb. They obviously love the tape. They've loved the tape for a while. The combine was important, not only for the 15 minutes they got to sit with him and put him on the board, but I think about getting to know his dad, Carl, getting to know kind of everything that comes with Caleb, right? He doesn't have an agent. He's got a publicist. He's got a manager. He's got a team of lawyers. He's an NIL quarterback. So I think for Ryan Poles, it was mainly about like, okay, we really like the player. Everything we've heard about the person is tremendous, but can we, the Bears, a very traditional organization that, you know, they're a little bit behind the times, can we really put up with the infrastructure? Come on. I'm just like calling it like it is, Rank. Can we put up with everything that comes with Caleb Williams? And I think so far it's been a yes. I think he checked every box. I was really impressed with how he handled the media, right? He's a guy who doesn't like interviews. He never talks. He steps up to the mic, and the first question is an absolute fireball from the eighth row that's like, why are you a coward and won't be measured against Jaden right. Daniels? And he was like, he just took it. And he was like, nah, man. You know, that's what my team and I decided. And he rolled with the punches. And the next, I think, 17 questions were from the five Chicago reporters. And they're just firing it at him. And he handled himself well. I thought he was confident. I thought he was poised. I think if you don't like Caleb Williams, or if you're looking for a reason not to like him, you probably say he came off arrogant. He came off cocky. I thought he came off really, really confident, really polished. And I think once the Bears get the medicals and have him in for the 30 visit, I think all the boxes will be checked.
Yeah, Braggs is our guy sitting there throwing out a lot of questions in there.
Yeah.
Of course, hearing his voice was great. What do you make of that, though? Because Greg and I talked about this last week. I kind of like the fact that he's not giving out his medicals. As you said, he's an NIL quarterback. The combine's going to change. I think a lot of these guys are going to start taking, taking a nod from Caleb. He's like, yeah, why are we giving you this information? Like, whenever I talk to somebody, one of my friends, so her daughter her daughter and her son are my daughter and son's third grade and kindergarten class. We were having this conversation. She's an educator. Her name's Lucia, if she's watching. I'm sure her husband will show her this and she'll get embarrassed. But in any event, we talked about this. When you talk to somebody who's not like an NFL, like is not a 30-year NFL scout, and you tell them, and you try to tell somebody like, hey, like, this player's got to give all his medical information to every team in the league. And she's like, this is the most insane thing of all time. And so I think to somebody who doesn't, you know, who hasn't been involved with the combine for the last 30 years, it's not going to be a big deal anymore. But what did you make of that? Did you think that Caleb Williams was a coward for not giving up his medical information?
No, I completely got both not giving up his medicals, because as he put it, there's only one of me and 32 teams can't draft me. So he'll give them to the three teams that he visits. And I thought the same thing about the throwing, right? I think what we're going to learn about the combine is the guys that test and throw are going to be the tier two guys, right? The guys who have things to actually gain, the Caleb Williams, the Jaden Daniels, the Drake Mays, that's going to keep happening, right? Marvin Harrison isn't even training at all for the combine or his pro day. Yeah. He's like, I'm just going to go play football because I'm going to be a top five pick. And then when I enter the NFL, I'll be ready to play football. So I think you're going to see a lot more guys, right? A lot of the NFL guys start taking their lead from Caleb, from Marvin. And I think the NFL is going to have to really grapple with the idea of the combine's entertainment product. If you get to a point where it's only the second round and third round guys, you know, testing, is it really an entertainment product at that point?
Well, I'll tell you this right now. Rich Eisen doesn't even run the 40 at the combine anymore. Like that's now become another. That was my thing for anybody that was like Caleb. I'm like, Rich Eisen does, like, Rich Eisen's career was based on running a 40 in his suit, and he doesn't even do that anymore. Now he's got Tom Grassi doing it for him. Like a second round guy. No disrespect to Tom, who's a great friend of us. But it's other people now. Like, we don't even do that. We don't even do the run Rich run during the combine. So the combine is complete. And by the way, like, any lunatic who is watching the combine over the last week, like, it doesn't matter whether Marvin Harrison Jr. or Caleb Williams is throwing or running, because you're still going to watch, because you're going to want to see those, like, Spencer Rattler throw the football or whomever it is. So I'm with you. I think the NFL will find a way to still sell this as a huge event. I'll still get emails. I get texts And I don't want to blow up anybody from my organization that I work with still. But they're like, hey, like, we noticed you're tweeting a lot about golf, or you're tweeting about spring training. Like, do you think you could throw out a combine thing? I'm like, no. Like, I'm like, listen, I go, my kids are playing soccer right now. Like, I can't, I'm very busy. Like, I'm into stuff. I'll catch up later. Like the rest of the world. What else was it? Oh, Arsenal. Yeah, that's the one. They're always like, you know, like, I know you're a big Arsenal supporter, but can you,
Adam, if you could just tweet about Amarius Mims' broad jump, that'd be tremendous. We would love
if you could do this for us. Yeah, so those are the texts that I got to field during the course of Combine Week, because I'm with like a lot of people like, okay, I want the stars. You know what? I know, like, listen, a lot of people go to like Lollapalooza and they want to go out and see the Hold Steady, but it's like, tell me when the Black Crows are on the stage.
Right.
That's just my thing. And I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong, but that's just the way that I believe it's going. But so I really did appreciate what Caleb Williams was able to do. And I thought that he came off very well. It's funny because, I'm just in a mood to blow. No, I'm not going to blow up this person. But I was hitting golf balls the other day, and there was a guy whose son is in the fantasy football industry. I'm not going to blow him up. But he was sitting there complaining about Caleb Williams, like crying. There's like a certain segment of the population that looks at Caleb Williams like crying to his mother or anything like that. Like that's
painting the nails.
Like they're like, there's right. No way this guy can play in the NFL. His son believes the opposite, who thinks Caleb Williams is number one. I believe Caleb Williams is number one. Do you think that kind of stuff is working against him with the Bears? Because as you said, you know, Virginia McCaskey's been around since the 1920s. Does this stuff fly with her and the McCaskey family?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's working against Caleb at all. Like from all I've heard, the Bears are very, very impressed with not only the tape, but the person. Like they spent a lot of time at the Senior Bowl talking to his USC teammates just to gauge reactions, right? You just say the name and you want to see like, oh, is someone going to pause? And everyone just immediately was like, glow out. Caleb's awesome. What a great teammate. They did the same thing with Cliff Kingsbury when they interviewed him to be the OC, right? It was mainly a 90-minute visit to Los Angeles to talk about Caleb Williams. Same kind of deal. I don't think it's working against him. You know, I talked to your coworker, Gerald McCoy, at the Super Bowl about the crying thing. And he was very much like, if you are mad at Caleb Williams for crying, you've never worked hard for anything in your life. Like, you don't understand how hard a kid like that works to try to beat a top five team and to score 45 points and come up short is really tough. So, no, I don't think it's working against Caleb at all. Like I said, it's not 100%, but I feel pretty confident it's about 98% in Caleb's corner. And once they get the medicals, it's I feel pretty good that it's a done deal. I don't think anything's working against him because there's nothing for rational people to be working against, right? It's just everyone else who's screaming about it.
No, and for people like myself who still love Justin Fields, I'm still okay if they've decided like, hey, we're gonna stick with Justin Fields, which is fine. And listen, I understand that they're probably not gonna do this, and I can still be a mature human being and be like, okay, well, that's fine. Like you do what you want to do. Like I sit there and I take my soccer team out for pizza, and there's one kid who loves Hawaiian style pizza. The rest of them don't want pineapple on their pizza, and you're just gonna be like, okay, yeah, it's fine. Okay, we're gonna do what we're gonna do, and we're gonna move on, and it's gonna be fine. And I'm not gonna have a temper tantrum about it. I didn't quite get what I want, but I can still be a rational adult by this, because everything about Caleb Williams to me checks the boxes and does, you know, like, and it all fits, and I get it. Like, you can't continue to pass on generational talents like this, and I do believe that he's a generational talent. But what about Justin Fields? Because I joked about at the top of the show, like, look, he didn't get traded on his birthday. The more this goes on, and we've seen some player movement going around,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Is there a market for Justin? Like, I know that Bears fans are like, we should get the number 8 pick from the Falcons, which is unrealistic.
Of course, gotta get the number 8 pick. That's it. That's the list. That's all the list. I will accept. Yeah.
But is there a market for Justin Fields? Should we make anything of the fact that he hasn't been moved? Because I think there's still a lot of dominoes to fall. We don't know where Baker Mayfield's going to play. Kirk Cousins might or might not go back to Minnesota. We do know that Russell Wilson will be available. But is there any reason to panic to think that perhaps there just isn't going to be a market for Justin Fields?
No, there will be a market. I don't think there is a market currently because he's not any team's option 1 or 2, right? We know the Falcons have checked in, but that's more of a preliminary, like, hey, we might be interested if we don't get Kirk Cousins and if we don't get Baker Mayfield. And it's kind of the same with the Steelers. Like, yeah, we want competition for Kenny Pickett, but we might prefer it was Russell Wilson. And the same is trying to do with the Vikings. Like, we might be interested if we don't bring back Kirk Cousins. So I think there will be a little bit of a market. It's not going to explode. Like, all the talk of a first-round pick, a second might even be high because the Raiders are a no. The Broncos are a no. The Patriots are a no. Like, you start going down the list, and if the Falcons get Cousins and, let's say, the Steelers sign Russell Wilson, now you're kind of sitting there. You're like, all right, so we're either going to trade him to the Vikings for, like, a fourth?
Like a fifth,
Yeah, or we got to wait for a team like the Browns or the Jets who have either an aging quarterback or a veteran who they're like, oh, this guy actually might not be very good, to come to grips with it later and offer you something. And then you're kind of playing that chicken game the 49ers got into with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, where they're like, we definitely want to trade him. And everyone was like, we know you want to trade him. And they're like, well, we're not going to give him away. And everyone's like, I don't know what to tell you. Got to bring him to camp then. Right, yeah, you're giving him away, right? So that's what the Bears might find themselves in if the Cousins domino and the Wilson domino fall kind of against them.
Yeah. What is the, is there a possibility that the Bears, the draft's what, 50 days from now or 25? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not
soon enough, Frank. It's not soon enough.
I know. Right. I know that Peter Schrager tweeted this out and, but he's like, it's 50 days to the draft or whatever it is. Is there a possibility, though, that the Bears draft Caleb Williams and Justin Fields is still on the roster, or do they have to get rid of them before the draft?
No, they don't have to get rid of him before the draft. I would recommend that they get rid of him before everyone has to be in the locker room, because I'm not sure that's what you want. But, like, if let's say it's 2 weeks from now, free agency, all the dominoes have fallen, and Ryan Poles is like, man, I really don't want to trade Justin for a fourth.
Yeah.
Let's just wait it out. And then the draft Caleb at 1, and then day 2 or day 3, the draft comes and maybe someone's like, all right, you know, whatever, we'll give you a 3. And it's like, okay, cool. We'll give you a 3 and a conditional 5th. Awesome. That's great. Like, you can wait it out. I just don't think you can bring him to OTAs or to minicamp with a locker room that has been so vocal about how much they love Justin, and then be like, hey, Caleb's our guy, but Justin's still here just for now. He'll be gone in a little bit, but we're figuring that out. So I don't think they can do that, but they can certainly hold on him to the draft. I don't think they will. I think this is going to get done. I give it a couple weeks. You got to wait for the first domino or two to fall, but I think eventually once the dust settles and Caleb gives him the medicals, you got to wait for the medicals, because I think from the Bears standpoint, right, last year we got to Indy and it was like, they're definitely going to take Jalen Carter. 24 hours later, he's arrested. And it's like, they definitely can't take Jalen Carter now. So from Ryan Poles' standpoint, he just wants to check every box. He got to get the medicals, get the 30 visit in. So give it a couple of weeks, but I don't think he's there by the draft.
No. And ideally too, I mean, you could actually, I think of guys like Sam Bradford who are dealt like at the last minute because there was an injury, you know, like if there is something that happened in San Francisco or wherever, you're like, oh, now you can kind of turn around and be like, well, you're desperate. But I don't think the Bears could do that. Like they couldn't wait for something like that to happen.
No, I mean, I don't think so. Like, if they really wanted to, right? Like, if they got no offers or they were just like, we're absolutely not trading him in the division, which would be weird because you're getting rid of him anyways. You clearly don't think he's the guy. You should be okay trading him in the division. But if they were set on either they only get one offer and they don't like it, or maybe there is no market. Maybe it just turns out everyone's out on Justin Fields unless they want to release him. The Bears could theoretically bring him into camp just with the thing of like, hey, Justin, you're going to get traded. We're not going to rock the boat. We're just waiting for something to happen. But once again, you're just kind of playing with fire. And I think when you're spending all of this energy, right? All the draft resources, all the free agency resources are going to be about building a winner around Caleb Williams. You're going to spend all this time all offseason, and then the first thing Caleb Williams is going to do is step foot in the locker room that has been like, man, we love the other guy. The other guy was awesome. I mean, it would be a very Bears thing to do. I don't think it's something they can do.
Would they ever have to release him? I mean, would it come to a point where you're like, God, nobody's really, because like, if I was a team, like if I'm a team in the NFL, if I'm the Raiders, for instance, like I would be like, I'm not giving you anything. Like you can't bring, like if you, once you draft Caleb Williams, like you can't, like it's, you can't sit there and buy a car and be like, you know, but I'm not trading it in, because then CarMax can be like, dude, you got to give up the car, you know?
Yeah, no, correct. It's exactly the Jimmy Garoppolo corollary, which is what the 49ers did. They were like, wow, we'll just draft Trey Lance and figure out later. And they ended up having to just keep both of them for a season and a half, which is why I think the Bears have to get rid of him, you know, trade him in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Like, you just really have to wait for the Cousins dominoes, the big one. I think Baker's going back to Tampa.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how much Pittsburgh's in the Fields game. Like, Arthur Smith is notably not a big fan. I know Mike Tomlin likes him, but you know, how much does that matter? I really think that if Cousins doesn't go to Atlanta, Justin's going to go to Atlanta. It makes all the sense in the world, right? I think the first day of the combine, Matt Eberflus steps up there and they're like, hey, what do you want in a quarterback? And he lists off everything Justin Fields is, right? He's like, you know, I want someone who comes through in the clutch and he's good in the fourth quarter quarterback. And he's a quick processor. And everyone's like, okay, no. And then Terry Fontenot steps up for the Falcons. They're like, what do you want? He's like, tough. Can handle outside criticism, is for the city, really fits in with the, and it's like, yep. Okay. I see where you kind of checking boxes. So I think if Cousins doesn't go there, I think Atlanta is a really easy destination. Like I said, a third, maybe a conditional fifth. And if you're the Bears, you say, hey, thanks, Justin. And also I do want to say the Caleb Williams Justin thing. It doesn't have to be an anti-Justin thing. I don't think anyone is saying Fields is a – no one's saying he's a bad quarterback. And that's what it's turned into. It's like, well, you think they're drafting Caleb Williams, so Justin Fields, you must think he's bad. I don't think he's bad at all. I just think that the Bears have a really rare opportunity. And if the Panthers had walked their way into two wins the way the Patriots did with Bailey Zappe and they had the number 3 or 4 pick, Justin's probably staying.
No, 100%. And that's one of the things that's been the most disappointing about this whole discourse. It's kind of like Nirvana and Pearl Jam. Like I liked Pearl Jam more than I like Nirvana. So they're like, oh, so you think Nirvana sucks? I'm like, no, like Nirvana's fine. I just prefer Pearl Jam a little bit more.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. That's how it's got. Like, I think Justin, you know, whatever he does, he deserves a ton of credit because the Bears gave him no help in year one, almost got him killed, gave him no help in year two, minimal help in year three outside of DJ Moore. And he worked his butt off. He got better. You can't say he didn't get better. He improved as a pocket passer, just not at the level the Bears needed to see to pass on Caleb Williams. That's completely understandable.
Yeah, and everything that we do, because Carmen Vitale has been on the show, or she's typically on the show, and she's talked about this at great length for months. Like, I understand the science of like, you reset the quarterback clock. You have a quarterback who you would imagine comes in day one and is at least similar to Justin Fields, can kind of do a lot of the same. And it's like, and then you get 5 years to figure this out. So it makes a little bit too much sense for everything. And I get it. I'm like, I don't like it. Like I'm attached to the player because I'm a human being and like I'm more fan than I am anything else. And I think that's fine. And people can be that way. Like, it's fine. Like you can have that kind of reaction, but also understand like, well, it's a business and these teams are going to do this. And when you talk about, because this is one of the things you talk about with the Chicago Bears, and like, I know they're a little antiquated, but I really do believe like over the last couple of years, and this probably stems from the fact that once Ryan Poles came in, is that they have advanced a little bit. They brought in Ian Cunningham, which is something that Ryan Pace wanted for a long time, and they've added to the organization. They're very forward thinking in trying to get a stadium situation resolved. Can't you say like the Bears, like I understand they're not like, they're not the Chiefs, but they're getting to that. They're at least following it. They're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think the Poles hire signaled that. Cunningham, the Kevin Warren hire signaled that. I thought that was a massive step for the organization because you had 3 decades of Ted Phillips going up there and saying, you know, hey, did we win enough? No. Did we get the quarterback right? No. But the rest of it was good. It's like, well, okay, that means none of it's really good, Ted. Yeah. So I don't really know how that works out. Yeah. So I think they've made great strides under Ryan Poles. I think Ryan Poles overall has done a fantastic job. Is he batting 1,000? No, no one bats 1,000. But he is pulled off. I mean, he's added blue chip players and DJ Moore, Montez Sweat. Like he turned this roster over. If you think about the 2022 Bears, which we're not even 2 years removed from, this roster is night and day different. That's all Ryan Poles. That's great scouting. That's really good drafting. Really good maneuvers and trades outside of the Chase Claypool fiasco. So yeah, right. I think the Bears are way ahead of where they were 3 years ago. And I think the talk at the combine last year was like, same old Bears. They got the number one pick. They'll find a way to mess this up. And this year you arrived and the feeling was very different. It was like, hey, no, the Bears are headed in the right direction. They're ascending. You can see everything kind of lining up. And with Caleb Williams, it's like, okay, now you got the guy. Now there's no reason it doesn't take off. This is a team that was 7-10 with Justin missing 4 games and they blew 3 games. Like they just kicked away
three games.
They just kicked it away, right? They basically kicked away a playoff berth with minimal skill talent outside of DJ Moore. And now you're going to add Caleb Williams. You're going to add another top 10 pick. You have $50 million to spend. There's no reason they can't win 8, 9, 10 games next year with Caleb Williams if he's as advertised.
Yeah. What do you think the Bears do at 9? Like obviously the wide receiver market has changed over the last couple of weeks. Mike Evans is going to say or re-up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. T. Higgins was tagged by the Cincinnati Bengals. I guess I would leave Michael Pittman as the number one wide receiver in the free agent market. Do you think I think with as much onus as Ryan Poles has played or paid attention to the offensive line and defensive line, it's not automatic to me that they draft a receiver at 9. What's your feeling?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I think especially because they only have 5 picks right now, the prevailing thought is like, oh, they'll just trade down from 9 and pick up a day 2 pick and kind of stockpile. And I honestly think they might go the other way. Yeah. I think they might look at it as the Texans did last year, where they were like, we think CJ Stroud and Will Anderson are elite franchise changers. We're getting one in Caleb Williams, and this all has to be about him. Right, we got to do right by him right out of the gate. And if we think that's Roma Dunze and he's going to be gone at 5, we better go up and get him. We know the Chargers want to move down. We give up 9. We have 2 second-round picks to play with next year. We got the Panthers' second-round pick. Give him one of those. Or give him 75 and call it a day. I really think the Bears, I think there's a better chance they move up than down because I really do think they will target an elite receiver with that second first-round pick and then grab a veteran, kind of a cheaper guy like a Tyler Boyd in free agency to fill out the receiving core. And then they'll be set, right? You have DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Tyler Boyd, Cole Kmet. Maybe you get Noah Fant as your tight end too, who worked with Shane Waldron. And then you've actually got the makings of a really competent skill group.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because Ryan Poles has always talked about building through the draft, but if really I'm with you. Like I've said that exact same thing as you just said on this show. Is that you got to move up. Like this feels like the year of like, we're going in. Like this.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah,
right.
This
we
is
can't it. Keep building for the future. You have to build for now. Like you get that sense, right?
Yeah, no, I think you build through the draft the first 2 years of the rebuild, which they did, and you wait for the future. And guess what? The future's here because Caleb Williams fell in your lap. And if he's as good as you think he is, and your team's as good as you think it's going to be, you're not going to be drafted at 9 again to get another blue chip receiver. Like if you're back at 9, next year, okay, something then Matty Eberflus is probably fired. Something went really wrong. So you might as well cash your chips in, go get Odunze or Neighbors, whoever you target as the best competent to DJ Moore, and go for it, right? You're going to get Caleb on a rookie contract. You got Sweat locked up. You're probably going to pay. Maybe you take a big swing of free agency at a Danielle Hunter or a Christian Wilkins to round out the defense. And I think it's time to go for it, right? I think when you have a guy like Caleb who you think is generational, who you think is Mahomes-esque, according to a lot of scouts, and Ryan Poles said he saw it. Now's the time to go for it. You got 4 years to play with it.
Yeah, I really want to take that approach because I feel like, and this I know it comes off as like petty and jealous and looking at the Packers, but I always felt like the Packers always played for 10 wins or 11 wins. Mm-hmm. They never played for the Super Bowl. Hey, we're going to be good for a long time, which is great. And maybe once in a while you'll break through and get a Super Bowl and Aaron Nagler can sit there and be like, I remember the Super Bowl 20 years ago and we won. It was awesome. Like, okay, yeah, I remember Super Bowl 20. It doesn't really help out as much now. I would rather face the risk of crashing and burning like the Texans did last year, as opposed to being like, it's kind of like whenever you like go out there and you're playing Texas Hold'em and there's always one guy who's holding out forever, hoping to chop the pot at some point. Like, I'm just going to wait this. Like, But there's no glory in that. So I feel like it's better. Like, let's go. Like, whatever. Like, let's get nuts. Let's try to get the three. Let's try to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's go nuts, New England. What do you need? I want to see them do. Is it possible? Can we get that crazy?
I don't think you're getting up to three, but I think New England's taking a quarterback. From everything I heard, yeah, they're taking. So, like, can you get up to four? The Cardinals, I mean, if you're going up to five, you can get up to four, right? Because yeah. The Cardinals might move out. So you could theoretically move up that far. And I think I'm with you. I think when Caleb Williams was asked, shout out to my friend Jason Leisure, who asked the question, what else do you want to know about the Bears? And he just responded with, do you want to win?
You want to win.
This is how you show him that you want to win, right? You go get another receiver. You pay for the three technique that you currently don't have that you hope Trevon Dexter might one day be. You add a Tyler Boyd. You add a Noah Fant. You know, they went and got Ryan Bates. Maybe they go pay for a center and Lloyd Cushenberry. Like, it's now's the time to go, right? You can't be wasting year one and year two of Caleb Williams. Maybe you stymie his development, and then it's like, well, what do we do all that for? So I think the Texans did it right. They took a lot of flack. I remember the second they made that trade, everyone's like, man, that's terrible.
I loved it.
Yeah, you're giving up a top 10 pick. I was like, man, well, if Will Anderson's good, what does it matter?
And you're giving up a top 10 pick.
Right, exactly. Yeah, what does it matter? Like, Will Anderson is the defensive rookie of the year. CJ Stroud was the offensive rookie of the year. Cool. They nailed it, and now they're ready to go.
Yeah, I love it. I love that kind of approach, and I would love to see the Bears kind of do that. You got to kind of keep pace with the Lions. What they were able to do. And then the Lions moved around a little bit last year too, you know, like wheeling and dealing, getting Jahmyr Gibbs and all the guys that they brought in. So you want the Bears to be in that kind of situation. Free agent-wise, you've mentioned names like Daniel Hunter and players like that. Do you think that they're going to be aggressive? Because, well, first of all, Jalen Johnson has signed a franchise tag. Do you anticipate them? I came out immediately. I'm like, they're going to figure it out. Like, he's going to get paid long-term. Do you think he's going to get a long-term deal?
Yeah. I don't think there's any question. I think these negotiations take a long time in the NFL, and they especially take a long time when the gap initially was big. The player bet on himself, so the gap got bigger, and they stopped negotiating in the middle of the season because Jalen said, I want to get traded, didn't get traded, and then said, cool, I'm not going to negotiate until I make All-Pro. Then he made All-Pro. So there's a lot of stuff going on, right? So when Ryan Poles comes out and says, I'm very confident. It's going well. We came hard with the cash. We came hard with guarantees. He's just negotiating in public. They got a long way to go, but they got 4.5 months to figure it out. He's a 24-year-old cornerback who has gone from, I think this time last year, we were like, yeah, he's probably a really good B corner. He's an A corner, right? He led the NFL in passing against. He had four picks. He led it in, you know, yards given up. He bet on himself. He's done everything they asked. He's going to get paid. He's going to be here for a long time, the next 4 years. You can't let those guys go. That's especially when you say, I would only trade him for a first round pick. Well, if you value him as a first round pick, you're going to end up paying him. You just got to figure out the number. So that's where that's at.
Yeah. And you got to pay somebody at some point. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, if you're resetting the quarterback clock, which it looks like they're going to be doing, you got to go out there and they're like, okay, well then you're paying somebody. And again, going back to what I mentioned earlier, you had talked about Danielle Hunter. Do you get the sense that the Bears are going to be aggressive in free agency? They're one of the top five teams in terms of cap space. Do you anticipate them making like moves like right when free agency starts?
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, I think Ryan Poles has always been disciplined, but he's always had a really good idea of value and a fit and who he wants. And I thought the talk at the combine was a couple of things. It was, first of all, the expectations the Bears will take a big swing on a defensive free agent. Now, I don't know if they'll get them, right? Is that Danielle Hunter at 21, 22? Is that Wilkins, who wasn't supposed to be available at 25, who really fits what they need, right? They've been banging that three technique drum for 2 years now, talking about, we need someone who penetrates. Well, there he is right there. But they're going to be involved in the veteran receiver market. They need a back, right? There's going to be a lot of Saquon Barkley chatter for the next week about the Bears.
Why? Wait, why do they need Saquon Barkley? They're already one of the better running teams in the league.
Thank you for that. I'm glad you brought that up. That would be my retort, because that's what I said when it was brought up to me. I was like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, I get them adding a back, like if it's DeAndre Swift or Devin Singletary, a committee guy who can pass protect. But you're really going to give Saquon $14 million a year for 3 years at 27 off multiple injuries? I say probably not. Doesn't sound like a Ryan Poles move to me. He comes from Kansas City, where they famously do not believe in paying running backs big money.
Yet McKinnon was helping them win Super Bowls.
Right. Damian Williams, you know, former Bears. Great. They'll be involved in the running backs, but you'll hear the Saquon Barkley stuff started today with multiple reports. I don't see that happening, but that's going to pop up. So veteran running back, veteran receiver, probably a three. Like, I think Tyler Boyd or Gabe Davis is live. The Ryan Bates, trade probably takes them out of the Lloyd Cushenberry, Connor Williams market, just because he's a reliable veteran. He's played center. He's $4 million. What are you going to spend $12 million on another center for? So you're going to spread that money around. So I think they take a big swing on a defensive free agent. I don't know if they'll get one. I think Xavier McKinney is also very interesting. They need a safety. He's 26. He's really good free safety. Apparently the Giants don't think he's that good, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the Giants are doing, but
Giants aren't a winning organization when they're making moves like that.
Right. Yeah. They got to fill the Eddie Jackson hole. So yeah, they'll be aggressive. I wouldn't be surprised if when the bell rings, less than a week now from today, it'll be like last year where they have probably two on the board quickly.
Yeah. Just a reminder too, I'll be on the NFL Network starting on the 11th of March. Yeah. I'll be on all week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'll be on the Insiders Thursday. I will also be on Total Access on Thursday. There'll be an NFL Fantasy Live the following week because they're like, hey, oh, it's the first day of March Madness. Let's do a fantasy show. Like, okay, great idea. But in any event, we'll be talking about a lot of that stuff. You mentioned Ryan Bates, and this was a player that everybody fell in love with last year when they put in an offer for him, and the Bills matched it, and like everybody acted like we didn't get
the sky had fallen.
Oh, I can't believe we didn't get this player that I had never heard of until 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Please tell me he's not going to. I don't want this to be the solution at center. Like, I like him as a depth piece, and I like him as a swing guard because Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins, who we love very much, but they battled injuries over the last couple of years. I feel like Ryan Bates is, like, perfect. Like, okay, you know what? We don't have to worry. We don't have to sweat it when one of our players goes there. Please tell me they're gonna get a proper center. I can't do it.
I think the optimal solution is what you kind of lined out, right? He's the swing interior guy who can play all three positions. I think what he does allow the Bears to do is not get caught up in a chase for a Lloyd Cushenberry or a Connor Williams, right? If that market explodes and it's $14 million a year, it's like, well, we don't really have to pay that. I think the issue is, right, if you're gonna start Bates, you're going to want to bring probably a rookie in to learn under him, and they don't have a pick between 9 and 75. Okay, so now we got to figure that out. I think in an ideal world, Connor Williams coming off the ACL, $7 million a year, he's your center, Bates is the swing. But I think signs right now are pointing toward Bates being the starting center and the Bears trying to sprinkle that money elsewhere.
Don't do it. We can't do it. By the way, thanks to everybody who's watching the show. We got like 3,000 plus watching. That's pretty amazing. Thanks for everybody who's joining us here tonight. We will take some questions here in a matter of a moment. You don't have to bounce, do you? I don't want to keep you on. 5,000. Sorry. No. Sorry, Sammy. I don't want to keep you on too long because I know like sometimes it's always interesting, like somebody, hey, can you come on the show? Like, yeah. And there's like, we're like 3 hours in. Like, really? Like, when am I going? No, we won't do that to you. We're not going to be on much longer. But I'm sure we'll take some crowd some questions from the crowd. I want the center position to be very important, and I think that when Jason, and I think the Eagles are going to feel this with Jason Kelce retiring. Do you think that Jason Kelce is the best center of all time?
Certainly in my conscious football watching life, probably. I'm sure there's probably someone when I was playing, ESPN 2K NFL 2000 that might have been better that I'm forgetting. But no, he's incredible. And I think the Bears would be really wise to solve that this offseason, right? I don't think you don't want a hole at center with a rookie quarterback.
No.
You want Caleb Williams to know the center that he's going to be working with for the next 3 years. Let's get that all working in motion.
But yeah, that's how I feel. Like, we did it with, oh God, who was the guy? Was it the guy, Lucas Patrick? Like, nope, I don't want to have to sit here and try to sell. Like, oh, but Bates is like, no. It's got to be somebody you want, somebody like, if you have a generational quarterback, you want to have not necessarily a generational center. Because to me, the greatest center of all time, Wayne Gretzky, followed by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Football wise, it might be Jason Kelce. But I also think back to the Cowboys, for whatever reason, Troy Aikman was doing something today. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And it reminded me, like, they had, who was it? Mark Stepnoski, who was, like, a great player for them. And, like, one of the reasons why that organization was successful for a long time. But I want the Bears to like really focus in. Be serious about the center position. Don't. Right. That'll be the one thing that'll throw me off. Like I'm 100% pulls. I defend the Chase Claypool thing. But if we really think that Ryan Bates is going to be our center, I got to throw a flag on that. I'm like, no, I can't have it.
I'm with you. Great swing depth piece. You need that because Tevin James has only played 12 games a year. Nate Davis has been banged up. Awesome depth piece. You need a guy who's going to be there for 3-4 years and just finish off. You've rebuilt this offensive line. You've got a franchise tackle, Darnell Wright. You like Tevin Jenkins. You paid Nate Davis. Braxton Jones is getting better. Finish it off.
Yeah, do we like Braxton Jones? Is there any – you talk about moving up to 5 for Rome Odunze or somebody like that. Could they possibly move up in the first round for somebody like Joe Alt,
yeah. No, it's interesting. I think the Braxton Jones thing is probably the one thing that I don't think any of us really have our finger on because the Bears – they like him, right? But all they keep saying is, yeah, he's getting better. You hear he's performed really well for a fifth-round pick, and you're like, well, that probably shouldn't be the bar. You want him to be just
good. Be good. Yeah.
And I think the thing that gets lost in the Braxton Jones conversation is the left tackle part of it, right? Most teams only have one franchise tackle, and the Bears just happens to be on the other side. Like, you know, a franchise tackle and a really good tackle, and it turns out the Bears have the franchise tackle on the right side. And if Braxton Jones can be in that 8-10, 8-12 range, that's great. I think he's probably better as a swing tackle, right? I think he'd be a tremendous swing tackle. If you could figure out a way to find a left tackle, like could you trade down to 20, pick up a second round pick and get a Marius Mims or you know, maybe you get A.D. Mitchell, the receiver out of Texas, then you get a left tackle in the second round. Could you do it that way? Maybe. I'm still more prone to just moving up and getting Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, or if you think Joe Alt is Tyron Smith or whatever, great. Just go get whoever you think Caleb Williams needs to be successful.
Yeah, I look back to what the Bengals did with Ja'Marr Chase on Penei Sewell. And honestly, like it worked out for both teams. You can look back if you're a Lions fan or if you're a Bengals fan, you can be like, well, we made the right decision because both those players turned out excellent. I think this is a very similar type situation. I like Braxton Jones enough to be like, okay, let's go. Let's get the wide receiver, and we'll try to figure it out with a tackle. I still would like to get a center. That's the one thing.
Gotta get center. Gotta figure it out.
But again, free agency is going to start illuminating a lot of these potential moves for the Bears moving forward. You know what? Let's do it. Sammy, do we have any questions? I do want to take an opportunity. Yeah, Bruja 7. question for the sickness. Can either Williams or JF1 lead an offense to 10 wins in which we score 30-plus points and a postseason appearance? Those are my low-bar expectations. Bruja 7, I think those are realistic. And again, it goes back to what Josh was talking about. Like, three games were blown in the last moments in situations where they had a 90-plus percent chance of winning. The Bears not only could have lost that game in Week 18 – but still made the playoffs with 10 wins, regardless of what happened in that game. I think it's very attainable for the Bears.
Yeah, no, I think, well, first let's just break it up. 10 wins, absolutely. Like if you expect the rookies who played well down the stretch to get better, Tyreek Stevenson, Darnell Wright, got to get more out of Roschon Johnson, Jervon Dexter, you're going to add free agency. Caleb is going to give you at least what Justin did, right? At least 170 passing, 50 rushing, probably more. You're going to add a receiver. I think, you know, you expect Shane Waldron's going to be a little bit better at crafting the offense than Luke Getsy. So there's probably a bonus there, right? I think 10 wins is very attainable. You get a last place schedule also, right? You're getting the Commanders, you're getting the Patriots, you're getting the Cardinals. So, I mean, these are all winnable games. 10's very attainable. Postseason, very attainable. 30-plus points a game average, I don't know, maybe 27. But still, it should be – there's no reason to expect it won't be – in that realm, if Caleb's as good as they think he is, if Shane Waldron's as good as I think he is, because I've been banging the drum for Shane Waldron since they hired him, I think it was tremendous. So yeah, I think all very attainable. And I think if the Bears, I think if they don't win at least 9 games next year, it's a complete failure.
Yeah, I really like Shane Waldron, but you hear a lot of Seahawks fans be like, oh,
I know,
crisis averted. Like, what are you talking about? I feel like that's just a fan base being a little bit bitter.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think every fan base has gripes, and you look at the Shane Waldron, the surface level numbers, and you're like, 28th in the red zone is not very good, or 15th and third down, but everything, every other metric is tremendous.
It's Geno Smith still. I mean, like,
yeah, right. Yeah. It's Geno Smith. I mean, he's elite. They were elite on first and second down. He basically helped resuscitate Geno Smith's career.
Yeah.
He's worked for Sean McVay, Bill Belichick, Mike Shanahan, Pete Carroll, guys who don't hire dummies and keep dummies around very long, other than a couple of guys in New England who maybe got a little stale. I think Shane Waldron is by all accounts tremendous. You know, I talked to Jack Smith and Jigba, and he was a little bit kind of iffy about it at the Super Bowl, but it's a 21-year-old rookie receiver is probably like, I didn't get the football enough. And that's just kind of how it works.
He's coming from Ohio State, where he had a high level of success going to Seattle. It's a little, I get that. So I'm with you. Yeah. I think it's Shane Waldron. And whenever fans are overboard one way or the other, there's a bookmark tweet that I have from years ago, about 5 years ago, about a Dodgers fan being like, oh, I'm so glad we didn't get Shohei Ohtani. And now you paid $700 million for him. So never trust the fans. They don't have a good sense of they don't always have the best sense one way or the other. How about another question though, Sammy? If we could, please. Love your position, passion for the team, AR. Funny how fans always say our team. Anyways, what happens if we draft Caleb and he busts? Does Poles get a second swing? Do people ever consider that a possibility? No, I don't even want to think about that possibility. There's no reason to think about that possibility. That is the one thing. And let me ask you, Josh, like, whenever I hear fan bases or fans go like, Bears will just ruin them, you're like, this is a different organization. Like, we're completely different. Like, Ryan Poles was not around when Eric Kramer was a quarterback. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't draft Rex Grossman. Like, it's so unfair. And I think that the McCaskies, and I say this time and time again, I always think the McCaskies have done a pretty nice job of trying to let football people to go out there and do their job. It's a new regime. And listen, if you want to take an opportunity, go look at the Chiefs quarterbacks from Joe Montana through Patrick Mahomes and see how that worked out.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think a lot of it is like, oh, well, they didn't develop Mitch Trubisky, or look how they ruined Justin Fields in year one. It was like, well, what does this have to do with what Ryan Poles is doing? I get the long tortured quarterback history, right? We even asked Caleb about it, and he was like, I don't care. I'm very excited to be the guy who breaks that, right? And I think that's all the thought process is. There's no thought process that he's going to bust. If he does bust, does Ryan Poles get a second swing? Honestly, probably, because he's done such a great job at building the roster. Like, assuming the roster itself remains really whole, and if Caleb just turns out to, we all whiffed on the evaluation, then yeah, he'll probably get a second try, because most GMs get two quarterbacks and two coaches unless you completely bomb out.
Yeah, and I look at the success that we've had over the last couple of years, that even with Eberflus, because people are like, well, these two are tied together. I'm like, not necessarily. I think that you usually get another opportunity to hire a guy and be like, well, this is really his guy. Like, he was kind of, you know, tied into Eberflus to start everything off, which might or might not be the case. But I think that most GMs do outlive a coach and a quarterback. And I still think that, but like you said, like, whatever you feel about Justin Fields, that team was very competitive last season, winning 7 games. They're looking for that quarterback to get over the hump. They would eventually, and again, why, we don't need to be so dour. Like, Caleb Williams is going to be fine. He's going to be a good player. He's going to come in. He's going to do well. And the curse will be broken. And people can be like, hey, you know what? We're over it. We're going to move on. Because like I said, like, there are so many different franchises who, like, you look at the New England Patriots, a team that had never done anything for generations. The New England Patriots were on the verge of moving to St. Louis to be called the St. Louis Stallions. Look this up. I'm not making this up. Like, they're like, yeah. And then all of a sudden you get Tom Brady and like everything changes. Now you can't even imagine any other team outside like the New England Patriots. You still think of them as good, even though they haven't been good for the past 3 years. So give it a shot. Like, we'll be fine. How about another question though, Sammy? Jordan Poyer, a possibility. Is he?
I mean, they do need a veteran safety. I would probably be think they're more likely, and like I said, the Xavier McKinney or draft a guy in the third or fourth round. I think Jordan Poyer's a little long in the tooth. And that's not, I mean, if they wanted that, they would just kept Eddie Jackson. No offense to Eddie Jackson, who I loved, and I thought he really served his purpose well. He's a great guy, media good guy. I love Eddie. The athleticism was zapped. He's getting on the wrong side of 30. He's approaching that. So, no, the Bears aren't going to go that route. They're going to go veteran, but not that level of veteran, I don't think.
Yeah, you know, and you see guys like Quandre Diggs being available and things like that. Yeah. I don't think anything like that is going to be a possibility. What about I know the Chargers might move Khalil Mack. Where does he end up?
That's a great question. You know, Khalil Mack in what was a contract slash move me year last year had like 16 sacks as Khalil Mack normally does. He kind of senses the way the wind's blowing and is like, okay, I got to show people I can still play. I'm sure he'll go to a contender who needs a pass rusher. The Chargers, I think, are fascinating because they're probably going to trade or cut Mike Williams. What do they do with Joey Bosa? They got to get out of cap hell. But they also got to try to win now with Justin Herbert, who's starting his big money deal, and they didn't bring in Jim Harbaugh to rebuild. So I think it's fascinating.
I think, you know, I was thinking about that too. I'm like, not necessarily the not the Bears, because I think they're locked in on Caleb Williams. But I'm thinking about those teams at 2 and 3 who need a quarterback. Like, God, does anybody make a deal for, like, could Justin Herbert be traded? Like, I know it's weird. Like, you talk about, like, you know, resetting a quarterback clock or anything like that, and letting Jim Harbaugh start off with a new quarterback. Would that, I would find it shocking, but like, could that possibly happen?
No, I don't think so. I had 0% chance. I think
my voice goes up because I know that it's not going
to
happen.
I think Jim Harbaugh came to LA to coach a team with the top six quarterback and entering his prime. I think that was probably the allure, along with the money, obviously.
What if it was the Bears? What if the Bears traded for Justin Herbert and they gave him Caleb Williams?
Number one pick next year's one for Herbert. Who says no?
Who says no? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. there's always these fascinating things. What about so Darnell Mooney's probably gone too. Is there anything else out there that could be shocking? You know, we talked about Saquon Barkley being a possibility. Mm-hmm. Actually, not a possibility. I think that these kids just love doing like jersey swaps, and they're like, let me put Saquon Barkley in a Bears jersey, because unless he's coming in to play for a very small salary, it's not happening. But is there any other like surprise things that you think, like some sort of weird, like, hey, perhaps this could happen type of situation?
No, I think the only thing we haven't mentioned that might kind of open, maybe raise some eyebrows, is Calvin Ridley. I think that's a real possibility because they do need a big exit. If they either want to trade out of 9 or they want to go up and get a left tackle and they still need a receiver opposite DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley's going to be on the market. I think he's 26 or 27. He kind of fits their timeline. He's a good complement to DJ Moore. And as long as you keep him away from gambling a little bit, he doesn't have any problems. Right? So I think that's the one name I keep an eye on. Hey, I'm all for it. Let him bet.
Circus Sports is out there in northern Indiana. We can't, like, listen, why can't the players bet on themselves? Like, you know, we always like, hey, this guy bet on himself, like literally bet on himself. That's what the golfers do. Like, you're basically like your whole thing is tied into your own performance. Maybe we should make more players bet on themselves. Imagine how interesting those games would be in week 18 if you had to approach it like a fantasy contest where you're like, oh my God, like I need to get 8 receptions or whatever it is. I would, the Calvin Ridley thing is interesting because, number one, I spent so much time last year downplaying his potential importance with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I think, like you said, if he's a guy who's just there to compliment DJ Moore, that could be very good. And that could be a pretty incredible one. But in any event, listen, I want to thank you for coming in this evening. Want to thank everybody who joined us here tonight. This was a lot of fun. It's funny because I was like, well, you know, we talked to the producers. I'm like, oh, maybe we'll go for like a half hour and do that stuff because, you know, a lot of things happen in the combine and everything like that. But we extended you a little bit too long. Do want to thank you. Where can everybody find you on social media? And what do you got coming out for NBC Sports Chicago?
Yeah, Twitter is @Schrock_and_ah_ Under Center Podcast, Football Night in Chicago. I'll be writing and doing TV constantly until the Bears make this franchise altering decision.
And by the way, you can download the NBC Sports app. I suggest everybody does that. I have it on my phone, and it's good to get alerts and everything like that. So you know what? We'll just go ahead and close it out here. I want to thank you for being here. Thanks to everybody for doing that. I want to thank also Game Room Chicago. We're hopefully working on something with Game Room Chicago, could potentially be doing something with them a little bit later. But thanks to everybody for joining us here this evening. And that's all we got. So until next time, bear down. And Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.